Welcome. First of all, welcome. This is Unsolicited Perspectives. I'm your host, Bruce Anthony, here to lead the conversation in important events and topics that are shaping today's society. Join the conversation and follow us wherever you get your audio podcasts. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to watch our video podcast. Rate, review, like, comment, share. Share with your friends, share with your family, hell, even share with your enemies. On today's episode, give me an opportunity to be a little self-indulgent, a little self-absorbed, as an open up to a little bit of my soul and my heart as I talk about current things that are going on for the show and in my life. But that's enough of the intro. Let's get to the show. So at the top, I was talking about how, you know, this show is going to be a little self-absorbed. There are things that I want to talk about that's going on with the show that are important to me that I didn't realize were important to me. You know, when I started this whole thing, I had some things that I had to say. And it was also a way for me and my sister to do something jointly together. And a way for me to express my creativity and my artistic side. You know, all of us, the three siblings, have different ability artistically. My sister's a great film director and photographer and singer. My brother is just really good with building stuff and putting things together with his hands. And he's really, really creative as well, as far as coming up with concepts and funny things. And my artistic ability, though I thought was writing, and I guess I'm creative as far as that's concerned, but my real creative outlet is coming up with new stuff. And that's really the reason why I'm really good in marketing or coming up with slogans and things of that nature. That's where my artistic ability lies. And I like to come up with creative things to do. And this podcast was one of the creative things that I wanted to do. Do y'all know that I can't find it, but do y'all know that at one point I had a little blog where I used to write as well? This is going all the way back to like 2006, 2007. I've tried to find a blog. I cannot find it. I guess it was part of the login was part of my old Hotmail address. And y'all know how Hotmail went. It went by the wayside. I think some people still got Hotmail. I think it's crossed over to something else, but I couldn't find the blogs. But I've always had this creative thing that about me, and some things are happening with the show that are really exciting. And I'm one of those type of people that I always kind of parse excitement. I try to stay even keeled in my life. I try not to lean too much to the positive, too much to the negative, try to stay centered. Therapy has taught me that that's a safety thing that I do to try to minimize disappointment. And that's a little something about me that I don't often share. I try to stay to the center and not move one way or the other as far as my emotions are concerned. So I tend to not get too excited about things. I tend to kind of play it down. I tend to kind of play down compliments. When people give me compliments, I can't take them. You know, it's something I'm trying to get better at. Some things I'm trying to get better at is seeing accomplishments as accomplishments. I set goals and I'm like, well, of course I accomplished that goal. That was a goal that I set out to accomplish. Like what other option was there? Failure wasn't an option. So it's never something that I look at and I say, well, no, this is a pretty big deal and you should be proud of that. Like nothing is ever a big deal to me because if I set out to do it and I accomplish it, that was the entire goal. I don't often sit back and smell the roses. But the reason why I'm giving this long-winded introduction of what I'm going to speak about is some things are happening with the show that is really, really exciting. You know, we announced when we hit the 100th episode, and at the end of the year, we were almost at, you know, 1,700 subscribers or something like that on our YouTube page. And a few weeks ago, at the beginning of this month, we had hit 5,000 subscribers, which had doubled basically in 3 months what we had done all of last year. And that's a hell of an accomplishment. And my sister asked me, are you happy? And I said, nah, Now it's time to get 10,000. So that's kind of the way my mind works. We've been getting a lot of downloads from all over the world each month. And some things are happening as far as other entities reaching out to the show to feature it. And one of the things that happened recently is if you follow us on Instagram, you will have seen that Unsolicited Perspectives and myself in particular had a feature in Voyage Atlanta magazine. You could go to voyageatlanta.com and search stories. I will put a link of everything that I'm talking about today in the description so you guys could go find it and read it. But there was a link, there was an article interview that they did with me, and it happened maybe a month and a half ago, 6 weeks ago. And I know I did it, right? But with these type of things, you once again, you stay even keeled. You don't look at the situation as, well, that's definitely going to happen. I never assume something is definitely going to happen. As a matter of fact, I always prepare myself for the possibility of it not happening. Once again, I wouldn't say that I'm pessimistic. I would say that I'm a realist. And you never know. I've learned in life that things don't always go the way you planned. So I didn't say anything about it. And it launched last Thursday, March the 28th. And everybody could go check it out and read it. It gives you a little insight, just a little bit more insight into me and the show. But that was kind of like it was a big deal. And I felt that. And I don't typically feel these type of things. It was a big deal to me. If you want to learn more about me and some of the other appearances that I've done on other shows, I've been on the most popular podcast with Dr. Adrian Trebier-Bennick. You can search wherever you find your audio podcast, search most popular and you'll find that. Also in the description section, I'll put a link in there so you guys could click on it. And then last year, I did an interview on Life Uncloseted with Rick Clemens. And then I'll also put a description in it. And I typically don't do interviews, but I was so fond of them in particular that I did do interviews. I understand that I started this show. So there's some aspect of it that I needed to understand that when you say Unsolicited Perspectives with Bruce Anthony, you are putting your name and your face out there. And I'm not somebody who is looking for attention. I legitimately just have something to say and not give voice to the voiceless, because there's nobody that I'm giving a voice to that can't do it on their own, right? Like I did it on my own. So anybody out there that has something to say can go out and say it. But I am giving voice to different lifestyles, different ethnicities, different cultures, because that's something that I'm really interested in. And it's really dope that you guys out there, the audience, are taking this ride with me. And I'm humbled, you know, I'm touched that people that I don't know and probably would have never met outside of doing this show, and like haven't met in person, but have emailed or chatted with or exchanged messages through DM on Instagram or, you know, TikTok or whatever that is, that are interested in the things that I'm doing and the things that I have to say. It's a really humbling thing. And it's also a responsibility, but I'll get to that later. If you listen to the audio podcast, you will notice that at the beginning and the end of episodes, there are now ads. Now, we've always had the Liquid IV ad. That's been going on for close to a year now, where once again, you could save 20% by using Unsolicited as your promo code during checkout for any Liquid IV. So go and do that, definitely. But if you've noticed listening to the audio version of the podcast, you will notice that there's ads, that we have ads now, that we are generating revenue for this podcast through ads. Please listen to the ads. Don't skip through them. They're 30 seconds. I don't have any more than four total on the podcast, and they're at the beginning and the end. But please listen to them. They're important because we're monetizing this podcast, and that helps us keep giving you this content for free. And then soon, there'll be ads on our YouTube, our video version on the podcast. And like I said, I'm not a person that gets too excited. But Friday, I knew the ads were on the show, but I didn't know the ads were on the show. Because contrary to what people may think, not to say that I don't like the sound of my voice, but some people don't like hearing themselves talk. I don't really watch or listen to the shows. I do them. I put them out there. I mean, I edit them. So I know what's on the show. I know basically pretty much what I said most of the time on the show, what we talked about. So I don't really need to go back and watch it to it or listen to it. But on Friday, you know, Thursday that the article released, and Friday, like, I knew the ads were on there, but I like heard the ads for the first time, and I got excited. I got really excited about something that was a kernel of an idea that has really grown a lot in the last, I guess, 18 months of us doing the show, starting out with horrible, horrible audio and horrible production. I don't even think the first episode had the entrance music and the segment breaks. I really, truly don't think they did. And to see where we are now, I am excited. I am humbled. And this was just a little introduction or a little snippet into me personally about how I deal with things and how I'm affected by things. I don't typically let my guard down and let people in. I'm trying to get better at it. I'm trying to get better at it because my audience deserves that authenticity of me, because I require it for my guests. That's another thing. Like, we've got way more guests this year than we did last year. So many more guests that are in the can because I'm way more confident in my interview abilities. I'm still going to stumble over my words. I still got the speech impediment. These things are these are part of who I am. I'm not a polished interviewer. I'm not Tom Brokaw or Oprah Winfrey or Montel Williams from back in the day. I have my own style, and my style is me. And I guess some of y'all are really, really rocking with it. And I'm going to continuously bring you guys really interesting people, or people I find interesting. And luckily for me, the people I find interesting, you guys are finding interesting too. So I'm going to continuously bring these type of people onto the show, people that I can introduce to a new platform, introduce to their works, whether they're authors or film producers or social media personality or influencers, things of that nature. I'm going to continue to do those things to give a voice to people that maybe you might not listen to or might not know about. And I'm just thankful that you guys are really rocking with me and this show is growing. And like I said, listen to those ads. Watch those ads, especially when they start to pop up on YouTube. That's how we make money. And we starting to get a little bit of cheddar cheese, y'all. So I'm enthusiastic about this and where we'll be 2, 3, 6, 12 months from now. It's actually exciting to me. And like I said, I really, really don't get excited. I'm going to detour a little bit because, like I said, the growth of the show and your support is so, so touching to me. I get a lot of hate, especially on YouTube, sometimes on Instagram, very rarely on TikTok. And it's oftentimes the people that are the most negative speak that. Think about it. When you have a good experience at a restaurant, you may tell other people about it, but those surveys, 9 times out of 10, you're not filling out the survey for a good experience, but you will fill out a survey for a bad experience or a negative experience, right? Like you'll point out something negative before you point out something positive. That's unfortunate. And that's not everybody, but generally speaking, that's kind of human nature. So when I get these kind of responses of people that really, really enjoy the show or really like the talking points or think that I or my sister or a guest made a really good point or really opened their eyes about something, it's really, really touching to me. It means that we're kind of making a difference. And I guess the general thesis of my life, really, it's all about, and it has always been, whether it's my Superman complex or whatever, it's been helping people. That's all I really want to do in life. It makes me feel good. It's not a completely selfless act. You know, I've had these conversations with my father before, you know, about my need to help people. It's not a completely selfless act because, you know, it makes me feel good. Like certain things that people do make them feel good, and helping people and being there for people helps me. You know, it just helps me in my personal life, and it makes me feel good. So when I have people that reach out to me, people that don't know me or barely know me, right? Especially now that we're on social media, that barely know me, or people that I haven't spoken to in 20, 25, 30 years, right? That are following me or found the podcast or found out that I'm doing the podcast, found out I'm doing the show, and have been like, man, that's really cool. I really dig what you're saying, and become fans, like and listen and watch to every show, and will recall back stuff to me that I'm just like, I don't even remember even saying that, but I'm glad that you listened. Thank you. It's amazing when people are stepping out of their box and they're trying something new. These slight things that people do that they might not even recognize the encouragement. That pushing another person's back, like I said, they might not be cognizant of it, that they are helping that person move forward in whatever venture that they're trying to do with their life. And it's just been amazing how people that I barely know, and I'm not saying that the people that aren't close to me, that aren't super supportive, the biggest supporters that I have are my blood and my bestie. Like the biggest supporters, my most ride or die. It's also interesting to me, people that are supposedly close to me that don't say anything. Like I posted the and somebody asked me, was my feelings hurt? And I'll get into that in a minute. But I posted the fact that the article went up, and I posted it on the Instagram, and you know, a lot of people either commented or sent me a DM or sent me a text message if they have that information. And they said, man, I'm really happy for you. Congratulations. That's kind of what got me a little excited. Like I was excited, but that their responses kind of got me excited. And I have people that have known me for decades that consider themselves really good friends of mine who said nothing. And I was telling a friend of mine that a friend, you know, I have different friend levels, right? So it's a friend that's kind of been there on the outskirts of my life for, I don't know, a better part of 10 years. It's not somebody that I even see that often. I don't think I've seen this person in 6 or 7 years, you know, reconnected through social media. And they contacted me and said, hey man, this is really dope. This is really cool. I'm sure you've gotten a lot of response from that. And they asked, like, how are those people close to me? And I was like, there's a couple of people close to me that I know saw it and didn't even say anything. And they were like, well, how does that make you feel? I'm like, eh, whatever. I get, doesn't bother me. And it doesn't, right? I just, once again, it's that even keeled thing. I don't move one way or the other. These things just don't. They don't hurt my feelings. It's very, people always joke with me because I'm a Cancer. That I'm sensitive, and I will say that I have a lot of empathy, but one thing that I'm not is thin skin. I have very, very thick skin, and it takes a lot to hurt my feelings. You could disappoint me, and I guess in a way that's hurting my feelings. But like really, truly, where I'm hurt like that, it takes a lot for a person to do that, and that tends to be only betrayal. Betrayal is what really hurts my feelings. But No, I was like, no, it doesn't really bother me, because I know in life there are going to be people that support you, and there are going to be people that they want to support you and then they can't for various reasons, right? Some people are going through a tough time, and it's tough to see other people doing well when they're going through a tough time. I personally don't have that problem. Even if I'm going through a tough time, I'm the biggest cheerleader for all those that are around me. You know, I want to see people win. I truly, truly do. I want to see people, well, people that have good intentions win. I'll get into that later. But yeah, people that have true intentions, pure intentions, good intentions, I want to see them win all the time. But there are some people out there that they are going through a tough time, and they see that you're doing well, and it's tough for them to deal with that. And I don't take personal offense to that. I think there have been times where I've been there. There has definitely been times where I've been there as well. So I understand it. And that's the reason why I don't really like get disappointed about it. Surprising. It's surprising, but not disappointing about it. But there's more of what I want to get into in a minute. And it's about the responsibility of this microphone, of this platform. And I take great responsibility in what I do and what I say, because there are people that are listening. And I'm not saying that I'm an influencer in any way. That's not what I mean. I'm not trying to come off as conceited. But when you have a platform and people are listening to you and people are watching you and people are dedicated to you, you have to be careful about what you say and what you do and what you put out there. Because there are some ways and situations where you can damage and harm society by your actions and your words. And I want to get into a little bit about that. And then I'll try and find some humor and stuff. Okay. I promise you, I'll try and find some humor and stuff. But I want to talk about the responsibility of this, of having a show, having a platform, having this microphone, not just for me, but all those people that are either thinking about it or doing it. And we're going to get into that next. Hey there, podcast listeners. It's Bruce Anthony here, and welcome to another episode of Unsolicited Perspectives. Today, I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind lately, the importance of staying hydrated and taking care of ourselves. Whether it's prioritizing our health and wellness, or gearing up for festival seasons, or just gearing up for whatever season or time of year, there's one brand that's been my go-to for all things hydration, Liquid IV. Speaking of health and wellness, let's dive into how Liquid IV can fuel your well-being. Imagine starting your day off right, feeling refreshed and energized. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier is the missing piece in your daily routine. With just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. It's perfect for those early mornings, pre-workout boosts, moments when you're just feeling run down, or even after a late night or long flights. I absolutely love how convenient Liquid IV is. The packaging makes it easy to bring with me wherever I go. And let me tell you, it's become vital daily part of my routine. The flavors, let me tell you something, they're incredible. From refreshing sea berry and strawberry lemonade to classics like lemon lime and watermelon, there's a flavor for every preference. It's like a burst of hydration with a hint of deliciousness. Picture this. One stick of Liquid IV mixed in 16 ounces of water, hydrating you 2 times faster and more efficient than water alone. And with 12 mouth-watering flavors, you'll never get bored with your hydration routine. Plus, Liquid IV is packed with 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and of course, vitamin C. It's also made with premium ingredients, non-GMO, free of gluten, dairy, and soy. This is hydration at its finest, but it doesn't stop there. Liquid IV believes that access to clean and abundant water is the foundation of a healthier world. That's why they partner with leading organizations, finding innovative solutions to help communities protect both their water and their futures. It's incredible to know that Liquid IV has already donated over 39 million servings in 50 plus countries around the world. They truly walk the talk. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code UNSOLICITED at checkout.
That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code UNSOLICITED at liquidiv.com. Remember, folks, taking care of ourselves should always be a priority. So why wait? Head over to liquidiv.com, pick your favorite flavors, and experience hydration like never before. Stay refreshed, stay hydrated, and keep rocking those unsolicited perspectives.
So like I said in the last segment at the end of it, that having this platform, and once again, I'm not putting myself out there that I'm this big wig. I'm not. I got a couple of ads. I did an article. I've done a couple of podcasts. I got a few subscribers and followers. Like, I know where I am as far as in the ecosystem and who I am personally and whatever influence I want to have out there in society. It's like I said, I only want to help people. I only want to have a positive influence out there on society. But not everybody has that, right? And I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. I think that we can all be tempted by some of the things that I'm going to be talking about. And I have people in my life that are some of the realest people that you can have in your life that are going to keep me honest so that I don't veer off into this direction that I'm about to talk about that some people do. But when you have this platform and when you have a show and it starts to become popular, right? You can start to chase subscribers and followers and money. And some of the easiest ways to do that, clickbait, saying outlandish things, whether you believe it or not, because you know that it's going to gain traction. And I'm not going to point out specifically because I don't want no beef. I don't want no lawsuits. But I'm going to say that there are other podcasters, and y'all know who I'm talking about. They're podcasters, interviewers, shows, TVs, TV personalities, politicians, influencers, things of that nature, that will go out there and say outlandish stuff because of clickbait. And I've tested this theory on our own YouTube page with different clickbait titles on some YouTube shorts, right? To see how I can test society, right? That's really what I'm doing. I'm testing society. So I will use clickbait to see like where the traction will be. And it's funny because I do what newspapers have been doing for a while and have a really sensationalized headline. But then when you read the article is not nearly as sensationalized. It's very detailed and well thought out and well put together, but they need to bring you in so that you can read the content. Similar situation with these videos is that I was like, let me test this. Let me see if I can bring them in to view the content. And here's the problem with today's society. And I'm a victim of it as well. We have short attention spans. Think about it. How many people out there right now can binge a TV series, watch 5 1-hour episodes, no problem, but have a difficult time sitting down and watching a movie? I don't know what it is about that, but it's just a really difficult time. So we have a short attention span. So the clickbait starts the views, but I can look at it and see the number as time goes on in the video, the number of viewers drop off. They're not trying to consume the content. They're clicking on it because they think it's going one way, but as they start to see that it's not going that way, they jump ship. And I know that there are a lot of people out there that are doing that because it becomes intoxicating. Every time that I check the subscriber number on YouTube, or I check the downloads for the audio podcast, yeah, there's a high that comes with that. There's a high with coming with, you know, I'm kind of doing something here. And that's really exciting. I set out to do something and it's happening. That's exciting. It becomes intoxicating, can almost become addictive. And you want more of that because it's validation, right? And everybody loves validation. Everybody loves validation. Validation helps fuel society, really. It drives us. Well, validation and pettiness doubters, if you're petty, can drive you as well, but validation works. And I'm not just talking about podcasters out there when I talk about this. I'm talking about politicians, talking about TV personalities, talking about social media influencers. There's a responsibility, and people need to take agency of the problems that they can cause by the things that they say and do. And it's the reason why there's a distrust in media. Part of the reason that there's a distrust in media is because there are two sides to the media. There's liberal media and there's conservative media. And it doesn't even have to be about politics, right? Everybody will see the liberal or conservative side of anything, whether it's dealing with politics or not. We've always been tribalistic, but it's getting worse. A tribalistic society that is, it's my way and no other way. And shades of gray. Once again, this is the reason why I've kind of created this podcast, not to say that I would have that type of influence on people. But if I can influence a few people to start to stop looking at life as in black and white, and start to look at life as shades of gray, that's where the learning, that's where the evolution of who we are as people comes from. If I could just hit a few people, isn't that worth everything that I'm doing? I feel it is. So this distrust in media, some of it comes from, what is media? And not everybody is a journalist. Sometimes they're a personality. I really get annoyed when people talk about the news channels. There was a time where CNN was a 24-hour news channel where they just gave you news. But now there's commentary. And people need to understand that there's a difference between journalism and commentary. I was a columnist. I wasn't able to do soul news because my personality and my voice, whenever I wrote, when I was writing for the school newspaper, and even now on this show, it comes out. You know where I stand, even when I'm giving you the raw facts. I don't have that ability to take that out and just give you a bland factual statement or report. That's not who I am. My emotions with the way I speak is on my sleeve. You know what my intentions are. You know where I'm going with these things. But as somebody who did journalism for a hot second in college, I understand that there's a difference between journalist and columnist, and that columnists are somebody that are typically giving their opinions, columnists or commentators, right? So when you're watching Fox or MSNBC or CNN, you're getting not straight up news. You're getting news commentary. And people don't understand, people don't distinguish what is journalism and commentary. And then that's where the distrust goes, because they're like, well, this person isn't giving facts. This person isn't giving the news. They're giving their opinion. And yeah, that's the truth. They are giving their opinion. That's not where you go to get your news. This is where you go to get updates. And if you want to hear a side of what somebody is saying, cool. But to go get your news, ABC, NBC, CBS News, Al Jazeera, like things that, those are news, BBC, those are news organizations. Well, even BBC has commentary, but those are news organizations. That's where you go to get your news. So that's where a little bit of the distrust comes from. And then also you got to understand that some of these news organizations have a narrative that they're trying to push. Some are extremely blatant. And I'm somebody who is always on Fox News, but I'll also get on MSNBC. They are very polarizing. CNN used to be down the middle, but now they teeter back and forth. But I'm talking about the extremes here, right? I'm talking about Fox News, extreme main news. OAN and Newsmax is not a part of this conversation because they're not mainstream like a Fox or MSNBC is. And they are polarizing. They are, because they cater to a particular base. And very rarely do they give posing opinions. They do. I'm not saying they don't at all. But there's an overwhelming narrative on both news organizations. And if you are a conservative, you hate MSNBC. You won't even watch it. But you have a comment on Joy Reid, even though you don't watch the show, because Fox is reporting what Joy Reid is saying on MSNBC. And if you're a liberal, you are watching MSNBC and you hate Fox. You didn't even watch the Tucker Carlson show. You don't even watch the Sean Hannity show. You can't, but you watch MSNBC report on those shows and you develop an idea of what they are. And they are what you think they are. But sometimes a different opinion, an opposing opinion, is important to listen to, even when you don't agree, because there might be something in there that you can learn from. Now, let me rephrase that. There's always something in there that you can learn from. And that's what people really are not getting when you have a platform, when you have a microphone, when you have some type of influence or major influence, how you can affect society as a whole and how you need to have that type of responsibility to not only what you do, but what you say when you have those positions. You can't sit back and say, hey, I'm just one person, when you have millions of people following you, listening to you, or watching you. You have a responsibility. So you got to pay attention to what narrative that you're out there trying to push. And people that are consuming this information, pay attention to what the people are saying, pay attention to what they've always said, and pay attention to the narratives that they're trying to push. Right. Have some thought about you and just don't take everything in as the gospel and the truth. Listen with a discerning ear. Before I leave this segment, I know a lot of y'all are out here thinking, Bruce, you gotten on your soapbox and you're talking about, you know, other people in the platforms and, you know, what about you? I try to maintain a responsibility every time I hit record and turn on these cameras and these mics to give y'all the raw reel. I'm giving you my perspective. And my perspective is not always right. I'm somebody who can acknowledge when they are wrong. That's also very, very important. And the evolution of a person is to admit when you're wrong, acknowledge when you're wrong, acknowledge the fact that you don't know everything and you're not always right. And to listen to other people, whether you agree or disagree, whether you want to hear what they got to say or not, because there's always something that you can learn from somebody else, from the mere fact that you acknowledge that you're not always right and that you can be wrong. And because I give my perspective on the show, I have people out there that are constantly, they're going to question some of the things that I say. And I listen to them and I say, well, this person has a little merit to what they said. And then I need to reevaluate that, or they don't. Right. But I acknowledge the fact that that I'm not always right. But back to how important it is to maintain responsibility when you are turning on the cameras and the microphone, not just me, because I'm just a small fish, very, very small. Very, very small. I'm talking of bigger figures here. And how can their narratives affect society? Because you might be thinking I'm being hyperbolic, but I'm not. Let me give you an example. The big lie, right? The big lie. There are people out there that still honestly believe that the election was stolen from Donald Trump. Think about that. And I know there's going to be people there that are going to respond back to this and say it was stolen, despite the fact that there's been numerous lawsuits that failed. Despite the fact that there has been no evidence whatsoever. We're here 4 years later about to enter into another election, and there are people out there legitimately believing that the election was stolen. And there were networks that were sued. They were sued, pushing the big lie. Feeding into that. Now think about why they were feeding into that. Ratings. People were watching. It was salacious. And this is going back to that, what I was talking about earlier, falling a victim to the addiction of followers, subscribers, ratings, fans, that it may lead you to do things and say things that maybe you don't necessarily believe, or maybe you can start to convince yourself that you do believe it because you know the power of that belief. So you say, Bruce, that was the president. And that was news networks. What about some of these other podcasters and interviewers and personalities that are pushing around false health narratives? You have people out there that are trying to restrict vaccines for kids to go to school. And you're having things like the measles outbreak happening. Things that we got rid of, polio, things that we got rid of 100 years ago. Because of these vaccines, people are like, no, I don't believe in the science. You don't believe in the science after 100 years? And are there times where something bad happens? Yeah, there are times where something bad happens with these vaccines. You're right. Just to ask you guys a question. Do y'all know how many car accidents there are a year? Do you know how many fatal car accidents there are in a year? I don't have the numbers, but I'm just asking you. Do you know? Do you know how many plane crashes there are? How many boat accidents there are? How many bicycle or motorcycle accidents there are? How many times are people hit crosswalking, walking across the street, walking in their neighborhood? These things happen. So because these things happen, are you no longer going to drive a car, fly in a plane, ride in a boat, ride your bicycle, go for a walk, walk anywhere, do anything? That makes no sense, because the likelihood of these bad things happening are not that high when you look at the totality of how many times that you actually do it. So anytime there's a negative effect to a vaccine, it happens for a variety of reasons, the health reasons that the layman, the normal person wouldn't possibly understand, because y'all could barely freaking pass high school chemistry and biology. But all of a sudden you Google a couple of things and now you have this degree in epidemiology. Okay, right? There's also conspiracy theorists that are podcast hosts and interviewees on podcasts, because I started talking about the responsibility of podcasters. And then I brought it out to a larger responsibility of politicians, people by and large in general. But going back to podcasters and interviewees, there's people that are putting out crazy, crazy theories on climate change denial, 5G technology, alien encounter, chemtrails, all these type of stuff. And don't get me wrong. Some of these conspiracy theories are kind of true, right? But not as true often as what these people say that it is. And like, it's very rare that these conspiracy theories, it's like extremely rare. If there are 100 conspiracy theories, maybe two are correct, maybe two are right. Maybe two have a kernel of truth, but most of them don't. And another thing that's very, very important for podcasters and interviewees, people out there listening, consuming, and creating content. It's the reason why I'm harping on all of this. There's been a radicalization and extremism in a variety of different things. There's been a rise of racism. There's been a rise of anti-Semitism. There's been a rise of Islamophobia. There's been a rise of women hating. There's been a rise of men hating. There's just been a rise of extreme viewpoints and ideas. And if you consume enough of anything, you'll start to believe it, because you're hearing so much of it and you're seeing so much of it when it's not necessarily the truth. And so the entire point of all of this was, as I am extremely grateful of this platform and this show growing, and humbled that you guys listening and watching out there would have that type of reverence to pay attention to me at all, but much less like every show. Like, that's really, really dope. And I am really appreciative. And I'm really appreciative of people that have me on their podcast and people that will read that article from Voyage Atlanta. I'm humbled by all of this. What will never escape me is the now constant growing responsibility to maintain truth and authenticity whenever I speak into this microphone. And I promise you that I will always have that truth and authenticity, because the moment I see that it's starting to slip, I know my people will check me. And if they can't get a hold of checking me, I'll check myself and I'll stop this whole bad boy before I let it go off the rails. I will never fall a victim to the chase of subscribers or followers or fans or likes. I'm going to keep giving you unsolicited perspectives. We're going to joke. We're going to clown. We're going to talk about serious stuff. We're going to talk about hard stuff. We're going to do all of that. Always. That's my promise to you. I'm going to end today's episode on more of a heartfelt kind of note. Bring a little bit of levity. Hopefully bring a tiny tinge bit of humor. Stop being so serious. But give a shout out to somebody that's important to me. Now, if you've been following this podcast, or if you're a new listener or watcher, you know that I do a weekly show with my sister. You know that we have another sibling, our brother, that will not come on the show. And I respect it. He's a bigwig executive. So I get it. He doesn't want to damage the brand. And we come on here and say some outlandish stuff. So I respect it. But I told stories of my brother getting me into fights. And he did do that. But there's also another side of him that's fiercely loyal and fiercely loving. Now, me and my brother are polar opposites. We don't have a lot of things in common personally. We're different people, completely different people. That's neither good nor bad. That's just the truth. We are just very, very different people. But there is a love and a bond there between us siblings that is unbreakable. We may fight like all siblings do. We may argue and we may bicker, but we're going to always remain together. And it comes from the fact that we move so much, and we had sometimes all we had was each other. So there won't be too many people that are as close to me as my siblings are. There are a few people that are my designated, you know, adopted siblings. But this is kind of like giving my cap off to you, my brother. I know you're listening or watching the show, and I'm going to tell a story, and you know what the story is. I'm going to tell a story about how much my brother supports me. So I have always been a fan of professional wrestling. You follow the show, you know this to be true. And I'm not embarrassed to admit this. I played with wrestling men, the action figures, until I was probably about 15 or 16 years old. Part of the stuff that I said at the beginning of the show, that creative, that artistic aspect of it, was before I even wrote a wrestling show for real, before I even wrote a script for real for other people to act out, which is what I later did when I ran, when I was a part owner and creative director of a wrestling company here in the DC area. I was doing that for 10 years of my life, from like 5 to 15, where I would act out these storylines with my wrestling men. And I would do weekly shows that would lead to big events, you know, very much like, if you're not a fan of wrestling, everybody knows what WrestleMania is. It's a big event. And if you are a fan of wrestling, I had PLEs, or pay-per-views, every month that nobody was paying to see, but that's what I would do. And it was just my creative outlet. There were full-fledged storylines, and I still remember a lot of the storylines that I told for these wrestlers. And sometimes I had an audience of one, and it would be my brother, who would sit down and watch me conduct the interviews and do the wrestling matches with my wrestling men. And for the big events, which would legitimately be 2 to 3 hours long. Cause you know, I was serious about this as a 13, 14 year old kid when I was doing the events, no longer the shows, the events. And I would take flashlights and cut the colored paper so that the flashlights had like color light coming through. That would be like the entrance, and I would do the wrestler's theme music, and my brother would be sitting right there watching it, sometimes barely able to keep his eyes open because he was bored, but he was there supporting me. And I remember one time I was in middle school, I was in the eighth grade, I was 13 years old, and I was playing for the middle school basketball team, and it was a big game. It was a really, really big game. And unbeknownst to me, my brother did something that I didn't find out until after the game. So I can't remember if we won or lost the game because that was literally 30 years ago. But I do remember getting on the bus to go home. And on the bus were the coaches, the basketball team, and the cheerleaders. One of the cheerleaders was my girlfriend. My one girlfriend that my dad told me that he was very happy that I dated because she was fast and I would get my heart broken. I needed to learn that early. That was my dad's logic. I don't know that I agree or disagree with it, but she was a little fast ass hussy. But anyway, so we're on the bus and, you know, this is back in the day of starter jackets. So I got my Michigan starter jacket and she puts it on because it's cold on the bus. She puts her hands in the pocket and she pulls out what was a custom action figure. Now, let me explain to you when I say custom. What do I mean by that? I had duplicate action figures of the same character. So I had two Hulk Hogan action figures, but I didn't have an Ultimate Warrior. So my mom used to do these arts and crafts and had this special type of paint that would stay on the wrestlers and wouldn't wear off. So I would take the second duplicate wrestler that I have and redo his paint so that I could make a new wrestler. So I would have the Ultimate Warrior because I didn't have the Ultimate Warrior. So I had Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior. I had two Andre the Giants. Everybody out there knows who Andre the Giant is, but I didn't have an Undertaker. So I redid one of the Andre the Giants to look like the Undertaker. This is how serious I was with these action figures. And my brother knew this. My brother knew this. And in some ways, those creations, those customized action figures held a closer place to my heart because they literally were, I literally was creating what in my mind I wanted that wrestler to be like. And my brother, I guess, knew this at a very young age because he was like eight, you know, maybe seven or 8 years old at this time. So my girlfriend goes into the pocket of my jacket and she pulls out the custom made Undertaker. And she says, "Bruce, why are you playing with dolls? Why is there a doll on your jacket?" Now, I didn't put that action figure in my jacket. I did not want people to know that I still played with action figures at 13. This is the time where Biggie wasn't out yet. But, you know, there was a lot of hip hop was really, really taking off and everything was like hardcore. NWA had already been out. I was a huge Ghetto Boys fan at that particular time. So like it was not cool at all to be 13 years old, still playing with wrestling men. And so she pulls out this action figure out of my coat and she starts laughing at me. And this is my girlfriend, by the way. This is the reason why I called her a little fast ass hussy. Cause who does this to her boyfriend? And lets everybody on the bus know that I'm playing with action figures. And once again, I didn't put it in my jacket. I come to find out later that my brother put in a jacket because he knew that particular action figure meant a lot to me. And he wanted to make sure that it was in my jacket so that I had some comfort for the big game. This is my little brother. If that doesn't tell you what he is at the age of 7, 8 years old, I don't know. I mean, did he have a flip side? Yes. I had to get into a lot of fights to defend him because he was constantly running his mouth. But that dude's heart is gigantic. And if he rocks with you, he rocks with you to the bitter end. And he sat there for all those events that I know he was fighting to keep his eyes open, but he wanted to be there to support me. I guess he looked up to me and wanted to be there to support me. And he wanted to support me on my basketball game. And that's not the only story that I have of my brother having my back. I'll tell more slowly but surely as we go on with more and more of these shows. I'll open up more and tell more of how my brother was there for me during important moments in my life. The game was not that important, but I thought it was important in the grand scheme of things. I thought it was important in that moment in my life. And it probably was. As a 13-year-old kid, probably not the bigger than that. And my brother was there looking out for me. Embarrassed the hell out of me. But you know what? I'll take that embarrassment any day to know that my brother has my back no matter what and wants the best for me. Because that's what family is. That's what love is. So shout out to you, bro. I know I was dragging you a little bit a couple of weeks ago talking about you getting me into all these fights, which you did. But also, you're super loving, super caring, and always somebody that I can depend and count on. So thank you. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And until next time, as always, I'll holla.
Whew, that was a hell of a show. Thank you for rocking with us here on Unsolicited Perspectives with Bruce Anthony. Now, before you go, don't forget to follow, subscribe, like, comment, and share our podcast wherever you're listening or watching it to it. Pass it along to your friends. If you enjoy it, that means the people that you rock with will enjoy it also. So share the wealth, share the knowledge, share the noise. And for all those people that say, well, I don't have a YouTube. If you have a Gmail account, you have a YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can actually watch our video podcast. But the real party is on our Patreon page, After Hours Uncensored and Talking Straight-ish. After Hours Uncensored is another show with my sister. And once again, the key word there is uncensored. Those are exclusively on our Patreon page. Jump onto our website at unsolicitedperspective.com for all things us. That's where you can get all of our audio, video, our blogs, and even buy our merch. And if you really feel ingenuous and want to help us out, you can donate on our donations page. Donations go strictly to improving our software and hardware so we can keep giving you guys good content that you can clearly listen to and that you can clearly see. So any donation would be appreciated. Most importantly, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and watching and supporting us. And I'll catch you next time. Audi 5000. Peace.